Hello, this is John Politon. I want to welcome you to Reformed Living. The passionate pursuit of holiness, obedience to the Word of God in every area, is the essence of the Christian life. It is my sincere prayer that the time we spend together today in God's Word will enable all of us to walk in greater holiness and thus to live our lives more to the glory of God.
I'm Celeste Montague. Thank you for joining us for our Bible study in the book of Hebrews. We are in Hebrews chapter 13 now, as we focus on how to put into practice all the doctrine we have been taught about Christ and who He is in the first 12 chapters of this book. But first, John takes us to the fiery little book of James to get us thinking about what faith in Christ should look like practically. And then we'll hear more from Hebrews and the process of something we call sanctification. Here's John with a message today titled, Sanctification and the Ethics of a Christian.
James chapter 2, commencing at verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. But someone may well say, well, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works, and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Turn over to the book of Hebrews, which has been the focal point of our study now for a couple of years. Hebrews chapter 13, just one book, if you will, to the left, Hebrews chapter 13. I'm just going to read the first six verses. Let the love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? It's amazing to me the number of times people will come and say, John, could you please tell me what is God's will for my life? I just want to know what God's will is for my life. Now, you might say that, John, I'm sure you don't answer that question. No, I answer the question every time. You may have come in here today and wondered, what is God's will for my life? And guess what? I'm going to tell you. 8 specific aspects of God's will for your life so that you'll know. This will be the best worship service, perhaps, that you ever attended. Somebody finally told you exactly what God's will was for your life. Some of the young people are looking at me like hunting dogs on point. Well, get fired up. It's coming. What is it? Well, first of all, I'm going to give them to you right now, real quick. First of all, your salvation. 1 Timothy 2:4. God desires all men to be saved and come to a saving knowledge of Christ. For this is the will of God. It says it point blank in Scripture. Second of all, self-sacrifice. What's it say in Romans 12, 1 and 2? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service of worship. God's will is that you come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. God's will is that you present your body a living sacrifice, self-sacrifice. Ephesians 5:18. It is God's will for you to be filled with the Spirit of God. He says, be filled with the Spirit of God, for this is the will of God concerning you, and do not do the deeds of the flesh. God wants everybody to come to Christ. God wants everybody to be self-sacrificing and presenting their lives. He wants everybody to be filled with the Spirit of God. Let me give you another one. It's God's will. It says point blank in Scripture that you submit to the authority structures and figures over you in your life. 1 Peter 2:13 through 15. As a matter of fact, I want to make sure that I don't misquote it. 1 Peter 2:13 through 15 says what? Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God. That by doing right, get this, by doing right, this ties all into Hebrews 13 that we'll see, Lord willing, next time, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Your godly conduct is God's will for your life, and you'll silence the ignorance of foolish men. Salvation, self-sacrifice, spirit-filling, submission. Here's another one. This is going to take you off guard. Suffering is God's will for your life and mine. You've got to be kidding me. Stay right there where I was in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. What's it say? For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. Yeah, but that says if God should will it so. So maybe I won't suffer. Nope, sorry. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. If you're going to stand for Christ in the school, if you're going to stand for Christ in your neighborhood, if you're going to stand for Christ where you work, you will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. And it's God's will that we do that. Why? We'll get there. Salvation, self-sacrifice, spirit-filling, submission, suffering. I'll give you another one. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. Why? The Word of God says, for this is the will of God concerning you. You know what it is? It says, thankfulness, yeah. Satisfaction. Be satisfied. Be content with where you are in Christ in this life. Tell God thank you for all that's going on, whether we see it as good or bad. It's His will for your life. Hebrews 10:36. It's God's will that you and I be steadfast. You have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised, close quote. Hebrews 10:36, that you remain steadfast. Salvation, self-sacrifice, spirit-filling, submission, suffering, satisfaction, steadfast. And the last one, and this is where we tie into Hebrews 13 and where we're going to spend the bulk of our time, and it's also the perfect setup for celebrating the Lord's table in just a moment. Sanctification. What's sanctification? Sanctification, holiness, righteousness, doing good works, doing the will of God, conformity to Christ, living a righteous life. That's all sanctification. Growth in holiness, growth in conformity to Christ, growth in doing what the Word of God says in every situation in life, growth in righteousness. That's sanctification. Don't get hung up by the vowels in the word, okay, or the syllables in the word. Sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. This is God's will concerning you, your sanctification. So there it is. You now know exactly God's will for your life. You say, well, that doesn't tell me if I should go to Pittsburgh and take the job with Motorola, or if I should go to San Diego and work for Jack's Hobie Shop. You know, what do I do? Do I marry Susie? Do I marry Sally? You know, do I marry John? Do I marry Bill? Hey, do whatever your heart's desire is as long as you're doing those eight things. And guess what? That's God's will for your life. You cannot go wrong if you know Christ and you're presenting your body a living sacrifice and you're desiring sanctification and you are steadfast and you are enduring and you're expressing gratitude and you're thankful and so forth.
That's got to be some of the best teaching I've ever heard on the will of God. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politon as we continue a study in the book of Hebrews and bring you a message today titled Sanctification and the Ethics of a Christian. You can download free copies of John's sermons when you visit our website at reformedlivingministries.org. Just click the sermon tab and download free MP3 files of John's teaching. For CD copies, just click the Contact tab and then send us your CD request by email. That's reformedlivingministries.org. And now, let's get back to our study as John ties in his teaching on the will of God and our study in Hebrews. Here's John.
Now that you know the will of God for your life, you might say, what in the world? I still don't see how this ties in to Hebrews 13 and what we're talking about. Because Hebrews 13, as you know, is a chapter on ethics. We've set this up the last couple of times. What's ethics? That's a moral standard of conduct. A moral standard of judgment is ethics. And Christian ethics, like all ethics, must be based on Christian doctrine. Those of you who are visiting, don't tune me out. Don't panic. Doctrine, oh gosh, he's going to talk about doctrine, it's so divisive. Please don't show your ignorance by saying that. All doctrine is God's truth. All ethics for a Christian's life has to be based on God's truth. And we talked about that last time. God's truth. And we've had 12 chapters now in the book of Hebrews. Actually, 10 chapters of God's truth, God's truth, God's truth. Chapter 11, which was God's truth, but how to appropriate and get in the family of God by faith. Then we got to chapter 12, which was also God's truth, but it told us some general commands. The first commands we got, get in the race, become a Christian. If you're already a Christian, get in the race full tilt. You know, lift up those who are weak and so forth. Encourage those who are stumbling. Don't despise the discipline of the Lord and so forth. But now, when we get to Hebrews 13, he's going to give us specific do's and don'ts. Answering the question, what is the Christian ethic? What is the Christian behavior? How do I behave in this world in certain situations? In my marriage, in our family, as a student, as a citizen, and all these various things. He's going to lay that all out for us. And that's really ethics, doing God's truth, is nothing but sanctification. It's conformity to Christ. It's holiness. It's growing in righteousness. It's obedience to the Word of God. And I wanted to underscore for you some specific points about sanctification, because they are critical to understanding the celebration of communion and what we're going to do in a little bit. And we miss it. And it's critical to understanding what's going on in Hebrews 13. So let me tell you a little bit about sanctification. By the way, we had a fabulous discussion at our elder meeting among the five of us on Wednesday night. It was such a great discussion. I left the meeting driving home, and I'm thinking to myself, if we're chewing on that meat that way and fleshing that thing out that way, good grief, what needs to be done out here in the pews? And what a blessing it would be to take it there. And so I realized this is where I think the Lord is going to take me with this message, and here we are. I was talking about sanctification. Now, remember, sanctification, by the way, growth and conformity to Christ, holiness, righteousness, whatever, it has two aspects to it. There's a positional sanctification, and there is a practical sanctification, living out the life. And the key verse of Scripture I wanted you to look at was Hebrews 12, verse 14. Why Hebrews 12, 14? Because it says, without holiness, without righteousness, without sanctification, synonyms, okay? No man will see God. Whoa, what's that talking about? Well, there's three aspects to that. Now, we've talked about two of them. One of them is, well, you can't see God without positional sanctification. What do you mean? At the point in time that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, He declares you righteous or just. Justification. But at the time you're justified, declared by Almighty God, righteous in His sight because of faith in Jesus Christ, that's also positional sanctification. Because why? You're set apart unto God at that point in time from your perspective. You're positionally set apart, sanctified, made holy, made righteous, if you will, for God's service, all right? Now, actually, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. So in a sense, you were justified and sanctified, if you will, before you were ever born. However, from our perspective, in time, space, dimension, history, we come to a point where we, quote, entrust our heart and life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and so forth, exercise that faith which comes by His grace in the atoning work of Christ on the cross, and you are declared righteous before Almighty God. You're justified and positionally sanctified, meaning positionally you're set apart unto God for holiness. Then there's practical sanctification, having received the Spirit of God in the heart and life and being declared righteous through the robes of Christ before Almighty God. We have to live out this life. And so there's two other meanings to Hebrews 12, 14. Without holiness, righteousness, sanctification, no man will see God. Of course, you got to be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ or you could never go to heaven and, quote, see God. There's more to it than that. We talked about Matthew 5. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and therefore glorify God. And so, and we talked about that. And so what did we say? We said that no man outside of Christ will be able to see the reality of the Christ life if they don't see Jesus Christ in you and me. That's why He says, let men see your, quote, good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. So, without holiness in our lives, no man out there will see Christ. And we explained all of that. What I didn't get to, and what we're talking about today as a setup for the Lord's table, is there's a third aspect to this. Holiness. Sanctification. Not just knowing Christ as Lord and Savior, but I'm talking about living out a life of striving to be obedient to the Word of God. Practical sanctification, conformity to Christ, practical righteousness, holiness, growing in Christ-like character. All those things are synonyms. That also gives assurance that you are indeed in Christ. As I like to say it, we have by our good works a witness without, and our good works are God's witness to us within that we're genuinely in Christ. And so sanctification, holiness, growth and righteousness, conformity to Christ is a huge aspect of the Christian life. That's why I went to that James 2 passage, by the way. You know, somebody said, you say you have faith, and I show you my faith by my works. Wasn't Abraham justified by works? We want to throw up our hands and say, wait a minute. You can't work your way into a right relationship with God. You can't come into a right relationship with God through Christ. That's only through Christ and believing in what Christ did. It's all of grace. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. How could Abraham be justified by works? Remember when we studied James 2. What did we say? We're declared righteous before God by our faith in Jesus Christ. We are demonstrated, proved to be in that right relationship, to be righteous before men by the way we live our lives, by our works. And we're going to see as we go through Hebrews chapter 13 that living a life of holiness, our good works like that, is a platform that will yield fruit and bring people to Christ. The old St. Francis of Assisi quote, you know, preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. And second of all, it gives glory to God. Now, having said all of that, I want to put some flesh and underscore some principles about sanctification, holiness, and righteousness. Why? Because, and we're going to get there, praise God, it's going to impact, not just today, I hope forever, if you haven't gotten it before, I hope forever that you'll never approach the Lord's table the same way ever again. Sanctification, first of all, I want you to know something. It's a thing, this comes from J.C. Ryle, by the way, a thing that will always be seen. It'll always be seen. What are you talking about? Good works. If you're genuinely born again, if you truly know the concept that you could be saved and not start living in holiness of life is totally foreign to the Word of God. You hear people say, I accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was 12. But I really didn't come to know Him as Lord until I was 28. Wrong. Wrong. Dead wrong. I've been taught that. You've been taught that. And we've all been taught wrong. That is not the situation. If you genuinely have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, there is a work that happens in the heart that over time will most definitely usher forth in a changed life. Well, you say, wait a minute, John. That isn't always true. Thief on the cross. What about the thief on the cross? He didn't have an opportunity to... He was declared positionally righteous and positionally sanctified when he gave his life to Christ, justified, declared righteous because he came to a belief in Christ on the cross, because Christ turns to him and says, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. But he didn't have an opportunity to practically live it out and demonstrated it. Yes, he did. If you read the passage when we studied back in Matthew 24, what does it say? It says they, the thieves on either side of him, were mocking him. And then later on, this one thief says, whoa, he tells the other guy, basically my translation, shut up. Don't you realize this is of a truth the Son of God? So what's he doing? He's taking a stand for Christ.
Another great point from John as he describes the process of sanctification in the life of the thief on the cross. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politon as we continue our study in the book of Hebrews and a message today titled Sanctification and the Ethics of a Christian. If this program is ministering to you and you might like to give back where the Lord has been blessing you on the radio, then please visit reformedlivingministries.org, where you can make a secure, tax-deductible donation of any amount and help us to keep Reformed Living on the air. You can also write to John with your donation, made out to Reformed Living, and send it to John's mailing address, Reformed Living, P.O. Box 386, 4727 East Bell Road, Suite 45, Phoenix, Arizona, 85032. Thank you. I'm Celeste Montague. Thanks again for listening today. And do join us next time as we continue our study in the book of Hebrews. And now, here's John to invite you to visit his church and to close our time on the radio today.
This is John Politon, and you've been listening to Reformed Living. Reformed Living Bible Church regularly meets for worship at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday at 6140 East Thunderbird Road in Scottsdale, and visitors are most welcome. If you're interested in learning more about Reformed Living Bible Church, please visit our website at reformedlivingministries.org. Again, that's reformedlivingministries.org. Until next time, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.